It's good to be back at Sterling again, and I want to say that I don't know if I should apologize, but we felt bad that we couldn't get to your carol sing, which was outside, and your Christmas. Now, did you call it a concert, or what did you call it, Christmas program? But it wasn't that we were sitting at home wondering what we were to do. We had things on, and I didn't realize when I got the dates and whatnot from the last time I was here. Even though we're not here, we pass the Ridge Road at least once a week going to Belleville, okay? We're helping out this old boy. He's 2 years younger than I am. His health's not good. I've known him probably for about 6 years, and back in, I believe it was April, he asked me if I would be the power of attorney for his health and for his property. And for those of you that don't know what that means, you're probably, young people, you probably don't need to know for a few years, but it's great for us to learn what we're learning in the last few years as we work with elderly people. Len is in Belleville at the Quinty Gardens, and he's not in assisted living. He's on the rehabilitation floor, and he had problems with his mobility, and that's what they're working on right now. And we're hoping anytime once we get the green light, he's going to move into Bridge Street assisted living for a period of time until we can get him back into our country, the promised land. It's a lot easier to look after him there. Now, how do we? It's interesting. As you work with people, and actually, if the truth be known, I think this is the fourth case we're working on. But how does this all come about? We just find in families there's no trust. There's no trust. Even amongst, now, Len never had children, but even his nephews, whatnot. And number two, what I find is, I just shared with Jan just recently, that I think one of the reasons why that he likes us in his life is, number one, he can trust us. And number two is that the fellowship that we have in the Lord. He loves the Lord. He's memorized, he's very knowledgeable. He's memorized a pile of scripture, at least the one time he used to preach, lay preacher. And so anyway, it's great to have this fellowship when there isn't fellowship in the family. So trust and fellowship together in the Lord. And so anyway, we plug ahead, and each day is a new day. Actually, it's been very helpful for me, because learning about assisted living, I've got Jan booked up, okay? No, not really. She says, I'm going first. Okay, I'm going first. Okay, I want you to turn your Bibles with me this morning to the book of the Gospel of Luke, and I want us just to... I want us to just look at a few verses here, and in chapter 2 of the book of Luke. Verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, and while his parents were returning home,
The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days,
there's a bit of feedback there, or is it me? Okay.
3 days they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers.
Sorry, you're not getting the hook, but can I just move this?
Why, sure.
Oh, also the it should have a foam end.
Oh, I ate that.
Maybe that's better.
Okay. See, why it doesn't bother me, my wife dresses me every morning, okay?
After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to them, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house or about my father's business?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Shall we pray? Father, I just want to say thank you this morning for this opportunity that is ours to come together. And Lord, I thank you for the worship that is involved. I thank you, Lord, for the community of believers bringing us together. And I thank you today, Lord, for the opportunity for us to sit under your word. The scripture says that your word giveth light, give understanding to the simple. And Lord, today, also remind that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. Father, take these thoughts today and your word, minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you, and I understand the Cards family, kind of wrapped up Christmas last night. Is that right? We were late just because of our children's involvement, and they have to go to their side, whatever, and we're 100% in agreement. Christmas, as we really think about it, it's really, now I know it's about the Savior's birth, but to many of us, it's about family, isn't it? Bringing family together, and what a precious time. And, you know, as we get older, we even appreciate this event or gatherings. We appreciate it much more. We spent Christmas Day, we went down to Canada, where our oldest son lives, and excuse me, they have 4 children. One is in Africa with, YWAM, Youth of the Mission. But the other 3 were present, and one of the things we enjoyed is that there are 2 older sons. We don't get to see them a lot, now, periodically, but it's really great to sit down and talk with them and get more heart to heart. And so we found that precious. So the Christmas season is about family. But you know, I will this morning go back to a family where it all started. And I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but I found it very interesting. As we go back to the birth of Christ and then follow his family through the New Testament. It's really interesting. Because, have you ever thought of this? It must have been really unique to live with Jesus. It must have been very unique. And you say, well, why is it unique? Well, could you picture, well, I can. I can picture it, living with someone who's perfect. I had to say that, okay? And you're the same. Thanks, Dave. Confession is good for the soul. Think about it. He's the eldest. Then there's James. There's Joseph. There's Simeon. There's Jude. And sisters. There's a good possibility that he had more than two sisters. Now, Jesus obviously was the eldest. And his stepbrothers and sisters made up the rest of the family. Now, can you imagine, and I don't know, I really can't because our family was quite, I'm going to use the word normal, and please trust me. we're normal. But could you imagine being in a family that you have a prodigy child? And what does that mean? Well, child that really is beyond their years. I mean, we have kids who have finished university in the world, they've done university in their teens. Some kids can speak different languages and they're just young or read or whatever. Piano, we've seen people on the piano. Cody, what's Cody's name on America's Got Talent? Yeah, he got first place. He was blind, and my recall isn't fast, but it never was. Autism. Okay, blind, autistic, plays the piano and sings. Now, that's amazing. You'd call that a prodigy child. Now, not only just being a prodigy child, they're talented, but he never makes a mistake. Now, can you imagine? See, Jesus was more than a prodigy child. He was the Son of God, and the Son of God is sinless. Now, do you not think that this didn't cause some problems in the family at times? I think so. They must have thought, But what's interesting is that his family, his brothers, did not believe in him. Now, that's an amazing thing. Now, let's back up in the story. Let's go back. We have the angels announcing and the birth in Bethlehem. 8 days later, there was the circumcision and given the name Jesus. 40 days later, or from his, I shouldn't say 40 days, from his birth, 40 days was the time of purification that was for Mary and dedication of Jesus, the two turtle doves. Now, I will just add something here this morning. You know, Chris, we get Christmas cards, and there's the shepherds, and the wise men are there too. Now, isn't that interesting? But we're going to see this morning, they weren't there. And if they hadn't been there, because of the gifts given to them, they would not be giving two turtle doves, which reflects their financial status and that not being well. Okay? All right. So we come to the fact that, 40 days. And then what happens after that? 2 years later. Why do I say 2 years later? The Magi come from the east. Well, because Herod said he wanted the boys killed under 2 years of age. Where did the wise men come to? If we go back and read the account, they came to a house, and the purpose of coming was to worship Jesus. And they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to this house where Jesus was. Now, they came first to Jerusalem, and probably they were staying, we can surmise, we don't know definitely, but it possibly in Bethlehem. Now, what happens after that? Remember, Herod made this proclamation, and an angel told Joseph, go down to Egypt until after he dies. And that's what happened. And then when they come back out, they went to Nazareth to live. Now, that brings us to the scripture today. Mary and Joseph, I'm going to use the word, okay, they were devout Jews. They kept the festivals or feasts that God had commanded in the Old Testament. And the Passover feast, they had attended, and afterwards we read this morning, we know the story. Could you imagine being walking one day, and I understand you can walk about 20 to 30 miles a day. Now, again, depends what kind of a walker you are. But let's split it in between, say, 25 miles. They get 25 miles away. Guess what? They start checking amongst all the people. Jesus is not there. So they headed back. Now let's just tell them, have you ever heard of a man who was maybe filling up his car full of gas, and his wife was in the back seat, and she got out when he was getting gas in, he never noticed her there, and he drives down the road to finally talk to her and she's not there. I've heard of it happening. Okay? You know what I saw here back some time ago? It was in Belleville at the Canadian Tire. It was cold, and I said I would get the vehicle, and yes, that would be awful nice. And I went to pull up like a real gentleman, but I have a Ford truck. This guy had a Dodge white truck. And my bride of over 50 years walks out of the Canadian Tire right up to this truck and opens the door. And I thought, man, am I going to lose her? What did he say, dear?
I think you've got the wrong truck.
I was watching this all the time. That's what happens when you get old, okay? Okay, one day's journey. I don't think they'd be really delighted. Like, I could think of, you know, if I drove from home out to Madoc to find out that I had to turn around and drive all the way back again, and that's only an hour. But could you imagine walking? Then after 3 days, like whether it's from the time they find that Jesus is missing, excuse me, it's 3 days before they find him, okay? His response is interesting. He says, okay, now let's where are we going with all of this? You got a child that's walking totally to a different drumbeat. Okay? Some of you had kids like that, but they weren't perfect. Walking to a different drumbeat. And here he is. He's in the temple. He's asking questions, and those who were present thought, man, this young kid of 12? Now, incidentally, at 13, they would start their apprentice. Okay? So he was just on that border of sort of stepping out of his own. Now, today in Judaism, we have the bar mitzvah. Bar meaning son of, mitzvah means the commandments. Okay? And so a young man, his bar mitzvah is when he turns 13 and he's now under the authority of the law, the laws of Moses, and he begins to become an adult at that point. Now, girls, you can appreciate this. They do it at 12. Now, you knew that girls were always smarter than boys. At 12. So, what was going on here? Well, Jesus, I'm going to read again what it says. It says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house or about my Father's business?" Something interesting as we follow the life of Christ. See, he was in total submission to the Father 100% of the time. See, he knew, as even in the miracles he performed, he knew, obviously, the popular opinion towards him of the day, they wanted to kill him. And so he had to just be careful, you know, what miracles, when, where, all the rest of it. So he had to navigate amongst these events, because you know why? Because there was a specific time, my hour hath not yet come. See, the hour was his death. What's really interesting about Jesus' life, that the epistle says, I believe it's in the book of Galatians, that God sent forth his son, born of the, at just the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. At just the right time, God sent his son, and it was going to be just at the right time, he was going to voluntarily lay down his life. And so I don't think Christ was being rude here, but I think it was a reminder to his mother, the fact that, do you know what? I'm pulling away from you. I have to be about my Father's business. About my Father's business. It's no longer family, and at this point, he was 12 years of age. Now, the next time we find Jesus is at 30 years of age. Okay, so 18 years has lapsed. What happened to Jesus in those 18 years? Did you ever think about it? He worked with his father Joseph. And incidentally, we never hear of Joseph after Luke chapter 2 and going to the Passover and whatnot. After that, some believe that Joseph died early and Mary was then on her own. It could be that Jesus, being the eldest, had to provide for the family. We don't know that for sure, but it's a possibility. And if he worked in the carpenter shop, he would have a trade. And anyway, that takes us up to Jesus' ministry. Who introduces Jesus? John the Baptist, his cousin. He's the one that introduces Jesus as the Messiah. And then what happens next? We find that Jesus is baptized. And remember how that the Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, after that, Jesus went into the wilderness. Tempted for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Now, we're not going to go through every event. But I want you to look, I want you to turn this time to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. So now, if we were to read this through, we would find out that, let's have it here. It says that the third day of the wedding took place at Cana of Galilee, and it goes on to say that his mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." Okay, let's just stop here for a minute. Do you know that once Jesus started his ministry, he never calls Mary his mother. He never calls Mary his mother. Now, he speaks to her with respect. Now, when he says woman,
I don't do it often, but some of the people I well know, Jen, all just comes, hey, woman, would you give me some coffee? Well, when I get my eyes open, I see that, no, she knows I wouldn't say anything that was mean, okay? Lady, probably, someone has said, it's probably better translated lady, okay? There seems to be more respect today, woman. No, lady. Now, let's go back to what he says. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. Now, this is kind of interesting. You go to this wedding, they ran out of wine. Ah, Mary thought, I've got it all under control. My boy can do it. And what does she say to them? And I'm going to look at the comments afterwards. She says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus told them to fill the water jars and to draw out from it and all the rest. And we know the rest of the story. Okay, but what does he say? He says to her, I've already read it, dear woman, why do you involve me? The time has not yet come. Do you know what the problem was? See, again, he walked according to what his father wanted him to do. He was on a totally different schedule, okay? Totally different schedule. And he said, and it was almost as if Mary said, or Mary's thoughts were, oh, here, I've got the answer in my son. Oh, no, no. Jesus did specific miracles at specific times because he knew the ramifications. He knew the negative income, that is, to stir up the crowd who was against him. Okay, so the next time we find that, that is the first time we find, as he started his ministry, we find that Mary was mentioned. And the next time, I want us to go over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Now, what's rather interesting is, why did Jesus perform miracles? He was a Messiah. And it was to authenticate who he was as a person. Like, who else could raise the dead? Who else could feed the 5,000? Who else could cause the blind to see? And you know what's interesting? The Jews stumbled over. See, he came unto his own, the scripture says. That's to the Jewish nation. And they received him not. They didn't accept him because of misgiving. Some was just downright unbelief. But see, they thought that the Messiah was some thought the Messiah was just going to appear. To have a little babe in Bethlehem? That doesn't sound like a king coming. See, they thought he was going to appear. I just want to stop there for a moment. That was the Messiah. You know what? The Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to appear. And I believe he's going to appear as a full-grown man. As a full-grown man. And so, but in the case of Jesus, wow, that God manifested in the flesh. Like, that I don't know about you, but that's sometimes very difficult to understand. But you know what? The proof was in what Christ was able to do. And of course, we're going to learn more of the story as we move on here. Okay, we come to chapter 7. And I want to, in verse 7, it says, or verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judah because the Jews were waiting to take his life. See, we forget the enemy was at work. Now here's the perfect Son of God doing good. Oh, they said, blasphemy, because you say that, you know, your father is God, and you know, you're in here one, and, you know, they wouldn't accept it. Okay, what does it say here? Because the Jews were waiting to take his life. But when the Jews' festival of tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world, for even his own brothers, if you read the rest of it, what? Did not believe in him. They thought it was really advantageous. You know, it is advantageous to live with some people that are wealthy. No, I'm not talking about my wife, okay? Like, I've had the honor of... from one of the family members, had me the credit card, had my wife the credit card, you didn't give it to me, and said, here's my card, will you stay? And if you need to go for a meal, because they were still working, whatnot, but it was ours. That feels kind of nice. But what about Jesus and his ability? Oh, they said, you know what? You should get up to the Feast of Tabernacles. That was a May Day festival from Sabbath to Sabbath, and it was when Tabernacles booths, that is the same festival, they built these shelters out of sticks and whatnot and put linen leaves over the top or whatever, and it was to commemorate their exodus from Egypt, and eventually into the Promised Land. And also it was at harvest time, so it was a time of celebration and commemoration of the events of God's provision. And for 1 week, they were in these little huts, I'm going to say, or tabernacles or booths. And so the family was going up, the brothers were heading there. Jesus, if you want to be popular, they're saying, you should get up there where the rest of your disciples are and where there's a real big crowd. It doesn't say that, but there was going to be a big crowd. If you want an audience, you're going to have it there. Now, what does Jesus say? Jesus' response is, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. And I'm going to move on because our time is... evaporating. So here we find that Jesus reminds them of the fact that the time isn't right. Now, another incident where the family comes in, I'm not going to turn to it, is Jesus was actually, they thought he was mad. The family thought he was mad. Why? Well, because all of this that's going on, he's healing, they hardly have time to eat, rest, whatever, and maybe they felt he should be back home caring for them, we don't know, that's speculation. Why did they feel this? Well, are you getting the proper rest? Are you taking care of yourself? And maybe too, with the animosity against him, look at what you're creating. Come on with us. But you know what he said? He talked about, they said, your mother and brothers want to see you. And you know what Jesus said? He looked to those around. You are my mother and my brothers. Wow. See, it was no longer, not that he didn't love his family. It was no longer the family connection. It was the spiritual connection, which he called them his brothers and mother. Okay? And so it's interesting how this all unfolds in the life of Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, Jesus said to John, he said, behold, this woman, referring to Mary. Remember, John took Mary
and looked after her until, we don't know. John died at a very old age, and incidentally, he was the only one of Christ's followers, that is, disciples, that died a natural death. All the rest died as a result of being their lives taken by the enemy. Okay, so that brings us up now to the fact that, we find at the cross, following the cross, his resurrection, yes, the mother was at the cross, but next time we go, and here's what's interesting, folks, here's what's really interesting. We go to the book of Acts chapter 1, and here Jesus told his disciples that they were to go and they were to wait because the Spirit of God was going to come. We call this the upper room, okay? There was 120 people there. Guess who was in the upper room at that time? His mother and brethren. They didn't believe on him. And now there's a total change. In fact, if we go back, and I believe it was 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to verse 5, we find that Paul mentions those that Jesus appeared to and his brother James after his resurrection. And we find that, as I said, they're in the upper room. And you know what's interesting also, and as this story moves on, it's powerful, because here are brothers who did not believe. They had the Messiah in front of them, and they stumbled over him, as it were, believing in him because maybe he just seemed too natural. But you know what? God did a work in their hearts. And what happened was, it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that convinced them of who he really was. He was the Messiah. We go also in the book of 1 Corinthians, and mention of James was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because of those that appeared to, Jesus appeared to. If we go back to chapter 9 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul is affirming his apostleship. And it was rightful for them to support it. Go back and read the chapter. But you know what he said? He said that, you know, for the traveling preacher, missionary, yeah, they should support them and their wives. They're doing this for the people. Apparently, maybe at Corinth, that they weren't. But anyway, you know what he was on to say? And Jesus' brothers. He refers to Peter and Jesus' brothers. They're involved in ministry at this point. Now, it only gets better, folks. The story only gets better. And with this, we're going to conclude. Many scholars believe that the book of James and the book of Jude was written by Jesus' half-brothers. Isn't that amazing? They did not believe. We find them in a prayer meeting. Jesus appears to James. Now, he just mentioned James. And James was a pillar in the church at Jerusalem. Now, he appears to them, or to James, I should say. And then the next time, we find out that these guys are in a prayer meeting. Listen, if their hearts weren't changed, why in the world would you ever be in a prayer meeting? That would be in my unconverted days. Now, not that I was that old, but I certainly wouldn't want to be in a prayer meeting. But here he was. They were in a prayer meeting. The next thing we find out, they're in ministry. And the next thing we find out, James writes the epistle of James and Jude, the book of Jude. I find that most, most amazing. You know, that causes me to believe. See, you know, folks, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more I study this book,
the more sure I am. That builds more confidence that Jesus is who he said he was, and he still wants to transform people's lives. See, what a lot of people want is salvation, but they don't want transformation. Oh, can I just explain that for a minute? They want the fire escape, yeah, assurance. But see, they don't allow Christ to change and transform them. And this whole idea is the new birth is all about not just coming in relationship with God and having that right, but allowing God to change and transform our lives. People we can trust. Can you trust everybody? There's Christians I don't trust. Not at all. Isn't that sad? Could we trust Jesus? I've worked with people, and I've often said, I could leave them with checks, with, you know, signed. I trusted them 100%. But what I'm saying is the transformed life. We're different people now. Jesus' brothers, do you think there's a transformation? Yes. And that transformation was also their willingness to communicate the truth about Jesus. They died, incidentally, they died martyrs' deaths because they believed in Jesus. You know, today, sometimes when we think of Jesus, how do we think of him? Oh, I trust. Yeah, who are we a follower of? Man, I more and more. You know, what's your beliefs, whatever. Like I'll say to people, I'll say, what is your faith background? Okay, what's your faith background? Well, let's sort of tell you what you're raised in. But you know, if you want to be more specific about it all, we are Christ's followers. Christ's followers. Indeed, he's worthy of following, shall we pray. Father, I just want to thank you today for your word. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you have seen fit to preserve the scriptures down through the centuries. Lord, some of them 2,000 years ago, to think your word is still the world's best bookseller. Lord, we thank you that your word, not only do we need a right relationship with you, but Lord, we need to be transformed. And Lord, that comes by, the scripture says, we're sanctified through your word. Lord, today, may we allow the word of God to change our lives and make us more like Jesus. Just give us journey mercies as we travel. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother, do you have a song, or do you want to just...
I have one to close up.
Okay.